Amen. Some of you guys aren't convinced, but you will be convinced sooner than later that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. Amen? Because it's not you doing it, it's Him doing it. So if you would be kind enough to turn to Romans 12, today's message is Overcoming Evil, Part 2. Part 2. I'll be reading out of verses Romans 12, 9 and 10. Amen? We're there? The Word of God says, Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, as maturing Christians, and all of us should be maturing past that point of salvation. Okay? All of us should be going past this. And a sign of a growing, maturing Christian is one that our love is no longer hypocritical and filled with facades. Our love is growing one for another. Our love is nurturing one another. Our love is sacrificing for one for another. But the world comes in and the world has given us this mandate, these standards, in which it's filled with a lot of phony baloney stuff. It's hypocritical. It's prejudicial. And you know, we have to understand that we no longer live or should be conformed to the world's standards. Right? Doesn't the first verse say, you know, we present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service or our reasonable worship. It is reasonable to God that we present ourselves before Him all the time. But in order for us to change, the Word continues on and says, Being ye not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is where we get ourselves into trouble, because we do not pick up the Word of God to see what He has to say about something. And so what we do is we continue living our life pattern according to the world. And what is happening, we are walking this way. When Jesus is telling us to go left, we are walking straight ahead. And when we finally get our head turned, we still run into the wall. And as Christians, don't we feel that way at times? That we're running into this wall all the time? It's like, I can't live up to that standard. And you're absolutely right. You can't. You have to die. You have to die to let Jesus Christ live from you in order to allow His life to come through that make you successful. And so today I want us to focus in on a couple things. One is our devotion, and the other thing is how we honor people. Amen? And if you recall last week, I spoke about, well, at least I tried to, in a way, to show that we are evil. We are really evil people. Everything that we say, everything we do, is based on what is beneficial to me. Right? We're selfish, we're self-centered, and that's evil before God. Because He wants us to be more like Him. And anything that is contrary to what God says is the pattern for a Christian is evil. And I use that illustration in showing that, you know, before we can point out somebody else's evil in their life, we have to have that evil revealed into us, according to Matthew 7. Jesus said, how can you pull out a splinter out of your friend's eye when you got a log sticking in your own eye? You're a hypocrite. You have to take care of the log jam that's in your eye first before you can minister to that other person who has something going on. And remember I said to you that, you know, before we can really love somebody, we have to receive God's love. The love that we have, one for another, is really a phony baloney love. It's not an intense love that God wants for His people. I can honestly say, I have an intense love for you. And I understand where you are, because at one time I was there. I understand the struggles that you guys go through. I understand how difficult it is to live this life of Jesus Christ in this day and age. This day and age is evil, it is wicked, it is dark. And, you know, if we are not careful, we will be swept away into that. And the sweeping it away is not something where we know instantaneously we're gone. And although that could be the case, but it is a graduation. A subtlety of how we slowly drift away from God, from the fellowship of the saints, from the Word, from prayer. And the next thing you know, we wake up and we are in desperate, dire needs because we find ourselves in a situation that we never thought we were going to find ourselves in. And it's all based because our decisions are based on selfishness and self-centeredness, not on what God says for us. Amen? We have to understand that God loves us intensely, and He has given us permission to love ourselves. It's okay to love ourselves. Not in a carnal falling way, but understand that I'm created in the image of Jesus Christ. That God has placed His seal, His love upon you. He has died for you. He has paid for your sins. And that there is nothing in your life that is so heinous that He can't love you. What happens is we hold on to that stuff and we don't give it to Him. Jesus Christ died on the cross for that specific reason, to have us come to an understanding that when we mess up, we have an advocate with the Father. All we need to do is admit it and repent of it and turn away from it and begin to live this life that Christ has purchased for us, which is His own very life. Amen? Amen. So today I would like us to look about how evil our devotion is. And how evil we are when we honor. The word for devotion Paul uses in here, in the Greek, is translated kindly affection. It is the kind of affection that a parent has for a child. What is that kind of affection? That affection that a parent has for a child is so intense, yet it is so gentle. It is one that that child knows that that parent has its best interest at heart. That child lives a carefree life, and that parent is so devoted to the well-being of that child that that parent will do whatever he or she needs to do to make sure that child's needs are met. That's who God is. God has died on the cross to show His devotion to us. He is totally, completely devoted to us. We are His children. There is nothing that He has not done for us to show us how much He loves us and He provides for us. Just like Madison is going to have provisions made for her, or Peter being made, or Ian. The parents of these children are devoted to the well-being of that child, to make that child become who God has wanted them to be, who God has designed them to be. But what about our devotion to each other? Because you see, we need to have that devotion. As much as a parent has a devotion to that child, we must have that devotion for each other. And this is where we have a problem. Because our devotion is hypocritical. Our devotion is superficial. And how can I say that? Well, when there's a need, where are we at? And I don't want this to be a thing where we're crushing. I want this thing to be a revelation for us, to show us where we're messing up. Because, you know what? If I am not completely devoted to you, I cannot love you. Because I have a bad self-image. Remember, we talked about self-image, that God wants us to have the image of Him and realize how valuable we are to God. We need to value people just as much as God values us. How do we talk to each other? It's a sign of our devotion, because how we interact one with another is a sign of our devotion to one to another. You see, you are devoted to the things that you think about. Whatever your focus is on, that is what your devotion is to. If you're devoted to football, your attention's on football. And there's nothing wrong with football. It's good. I mean, I'm devoted to football. And next year the Bills are going to kick butt. At least once or twice. I can't say nothing for the Eagles, because, you know, they get their butts handed to them, wings clipped, that stuff, you know. But, yeah, that's true. That's true. But our devotion to that is only one-sided, because it shows what our focus is on. Or our focus may be on our spouse. Our devotion to our spouse is one that, you know, is second to none. I am so focused on my well-being that I can become controlling and manipulative to her. Instead of my focus is to be devoted to her, to encourage her in her walk with Jesus Christ. And some of you guys that are getting ready for marriage and developing these relationships have to understand that God has put that responsibility on a man to promote his wife to become the Proverbs 31 woman. Not to control her, not to manipulate her, and vice versa. The wife is not to control and manipulate the husband, but to be devoted in promoting them to be all they possibly can be in the house of God or in the world, to be the best husband or whatever. Showing that concern, making sure that those resources and all that that person has that is available to them is given totally to them. I was talking with my son, and he believes, he's one of these guys that believes in having a prenup. And so he and I are having this battle of wits because I do not believe in prenuptials when you get married. I believe that you're either fully committed or you're not fully committed. And a prenup just tells me that you're not fully committed. Of course, his argument is, you know, I want to protect all my material wealth and stuff because if she leaves, and I just shake my head, I said, you're not taking it with you. When you leave this planet, you're not taking it with you. So what's the deal? You had to think. How devoted are we to each other? When we see the needs. Or do we see needs? Because if my focus is on myself instead of God-focused, and God-focus is looking around and see what needs are out there, how can I serve? Irene and I are constantly looking how we can be a blessing to show a sign of our devotion to you guys. And we've seen things that we can actually give away to people to help them in their struggles for living. We have done things to show our love and devotion to them, either through utilizing the gifts and talents that I have, my electrical background or sheetrocking. We took some of the young guys and we did some sheetrocking at the baker's house and stuff. Little things, but was greatly appreciated by the family because they themselves couldn't do that. And of course, we didn't work as fast as a general contractor, but, you know, the work still got done. These guys began to pick up a trade, and so they're now able to do these things without me having to supervise them. It's a symbol of my devotion, not only to the men of this church or to the women of this church, but I have a kindly affection for God's people. We need to stop worrying about what the standards of the world is and begin to start seeing what the standards that God has set for us. If we do not understand what God is saying in these standards, how are we going to be devoted? You know, I believe we're devoted to God, but the problem comes when we become devoted to each other because we have these little idiosyncrasies that really rub us the wrong way. Oh, man, do you believe that he's back? I can't believe this. How many times? It doesn't matter how many times. Are you devoted to the well-being of that person? Are you devoted to seeing that this person become better than what they can even think or see themselves becoming? And there's a young man now in here that have been discipled and going through foundations and all. Sometimes, you know, I've had to be really hard with them. My love for them hasn't changed, but, you know, my tactic in which to make them realize how much God loves them had to be a little more firmer. Didn't change my devotion. My devotion is still the same. My tactic changed a little bit. Sometimes I'm able to really get it in somebody's grill and really tell them how much God loves them and how much they really need to do this. Other times, I can just use a word by saying how disappointed I am in them and watch the Holy Spirit just break them. You know, God is completely devoted to us, and we need to take that devotion that He has focused upon us and know that He is so devoted to me that it doesn't matter what's going on in my life because the resources that I have is for promoting His kingdom. And how better way can I promote His kingdom than taking those resources that He has granted to me and give them away to somebody else that can use it to be a blessing to them as a symbol of my devotion to them. And I know we're young and we have things that are in our lives that we value. But remember way back when I said, you know, when we're holding on to things that God wants to give to us, we can't receive it. We have to let it go. And when our hands are open, God fills them with something else, far more valuable than what we thought we were holding on to. Whether it's a relationship that is caustic and dangerous, we need to let that relationship go. God has a man and a woman that He has created just for us. And we're so busy running around focusing on, oh, is this one for me? Or is that one for me? God, I'm going to be focused on You. I'm going to show You my devotion by living my life, and You're going to bring that person into my life that You want me to have because I know that that person is for my highest good, and You've chosen that one. Now, we don't want that. We show our devotion by how selfish we really are one to another. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." What's the old adage, put your money where your mouth is? A lot of us are very flippant in telling each other how much we love them. Man, I love you. I really love you. But is there devotion behind that? Have I just mouthed these words of devotion? Do I say to Irene, "Girl, I really love you," and I run around on her? Or, "Jesse, I love you," and I abuse my children? That's not love. It's not showing devotion. It's not showing the kindly affection as a parent would show to that child to make sure that child is taken care of. I hope it makes you think that, you know, our devotion is evil because it's all self-centered and selfish. It's what I can get through this relationship. It's all superficial. It's all carnal. And what God wants to give to us and bring from us is that spiritual person that you are already created. Oh, you are already this person. You just need to know how to pull off the carnality and allow this spiritual person that is created in the image of Jesus Christ, filled with the supernatural potential of heaven, waiting to go and touch lives. No longer just saying, "I love you," but showing how much I love you by being there. By being there in the times. Not in the good times, in the bad times. Because in the bad times, that's when the rubber hits the road. Anybody can be there and say, "I'm devoted to you," when it's good, but it's in the bad times. And all of us go through those troubles. All of us will go through that. How we respond will determine our devotion one to another. Am I too busy when somebody calls upon me that, "Oh, that's your problem, dude"? Or is it, "You know what, I'm devoted to you. Let me finish this thing up. I'll be right there." And you guys know, you guys that have called and said, "Pastor, I need help. I need this." I've stopped what I've done. And I'm not building this up as a pride thing. I'm showing you that you are important to me because you're important to God. And if God has died for you, He has died for me. And me being a little bit more mature than you, I must exhibit my devotion or God's devotion through me to you by stopping what I'm doing to help you get through the trouble that you're in. And then you do that likewise. Amen? We must learn that the needs that we have to be a Christian, and I can't say it enough, is going to cost you everything that you are. Who you are right now, next year, you're not going to be that person. Everything that you have, all the stuff that you got now is going to change. And remember when we started this year, I said, God is going to change us. He is shaking the tree of our lives. And He wants to see what's going to stay and what's not going to stay. Are we pretenders or are we just attenders? Because, you know, those who attend will be swept out. Those who are pretenders will be swept away. But those who are devoted to God and to His people will stay. No matter what the trial, no matter what the storm, no matter what's going on. They will show their devotion, their love one for another. By word and deed. Not just by word. Amen? Amen. The easiest way for me to become more devoted to you is to become more devoted to God. And that is shown forth by me being in His Word, me applying His Word to my life. It is not shown forth by me telling you, this is what God says. You need to do this. And most of you guys know that I don't tell you what you need to do. I tell you what God says. I let the Holy Spirit tell you what you need to do. See, I've learned one thing in my walk with Jesus Christ. I let the Holy Spirit do His job. And He's doing a job on me. So, if I have to learn how to become more devoted, I must first practice my devotion to God. And that's in all areas. It's the easiest way for me to do that. It's the easiest way because God died for a relationship with you and with me together. Honor. This is a very sticky subject when it comes to honor. The world is filled with a bunch of glory hounds. And these are individuals that do not take responsibility for their wrongs. They blame everybody else. When something goes wrong, it's because somebody else didn't do their job. But when things go right, hey, check me out. See what I did? But that's not honor. That's not honor. Because remember, everything is based on our self-image. If my image before Jesus Christ is good, then I'm not sweating the small stuff. I'm completely devoted to you. I'm not worried about what I can get from you. I could care less. I'm more interested in you as a person. And so the definition of honor is really pretty unique. I looked it up. It says, true honor is the holding in public another person in high esteem. It is giving credit where credit is due, stating what a privilege it is to be associated with that person who is due the honor and respect. It is demonstrating the courteous respect for that individual with the absence of deceit and fraud, whether in word or deed. That's honor. How many of us honor each other respectfully? When we don't get what we want, we character assassinate each other. Satan gives us the bow and arrow. He says, okay, fire this thing up here. And we curse at each other. We yell and scream at each other. We do every evil thing. But honor one another. We do not hold in high esteem one another. When someone doesn't do something that we want them to do, now hear me, this is very, you must hear me clearly, that is contrary to authority in a home or in contrary to the Word of God's authority, we immediately assassinate them by telling them, how rotten they are, that they should do things that we want them to do, because after all, we're family. I know more families that are so dysfunctional in the house of God that makes me wonder why they're even Christians. And I'm not saying that we're perfect. What I'm saying is all we need to do is do what the Word tells us to do. I really believe we don't understand the simplicity of God's Word. Honoring somebody is not waiting till they die. I was at a viewing Friday night. A friend of mine's husband had died. And the pastor of the church, it must have been about 400 people there. And the pastor of the church had asked for testimonies, honoraries, this person who had died. And as each person got up, I started thinking about my friend who had died and how these people were saying how much of a friend he was and how good a person he was. They were saying these great words, but they also said they never said that to him while he was alive. And I thought about that and I said, you know what? I make it a point to tell you how much I appreciate you. Almost to a point where it must be sickening to you guys. It really must. Every little thing that you guys do for myself or for my family, for the church, I tell you, I acknowledge how because I want to increase your value. You are important to God. And you must see that every little thing that you do is important to God. And I must acknowledge that. I do things like I send flowers periodically with just a little note telling a person how much I appreciate them. I buy books for people that I know that I give to them and say, hey, look, you know, I was just thinking about you. Here you are. I go to dinner, take people out to dinner. Not for them to feel a compulsion or an obligation to repay me back. But it's a small token for me to say how much I appreciate them. That's honoring. And that's what we need to do. Our devotion and our honoring must coincide one with another. We can't say I love you and not show the devotion or the honoring of that person. If we have to wait till that person dies, then what good is that? You know, we miss the opportunity to put something into a person's life who may be struggling with their self-image, who may be having a real tough time thinking that the world, you know, you read this, what is it, 16 or Vogue or whatever it is where the girl, you girls read, you know, talks about fashion and all that, all the baloney. You know, tells you how you know, you've got to be as skinny as a rail because that's the kind of person we want. Well, you know what? That's the world standard. Be who God wants you to be. We should not live according to the world standards. We need to live according to the standards that God has set for us. Devoted one to another and to their well-being. Everything that I have, everything that I own. If you need it and I have it, you got it. I mean, it's really that simple. Honoring you. Now, I'm not saying that you need to do this with me. It'd be nice. I mean, you know, rub my ego once in a while, too. But I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I want us to understand how far away we are from what God has said. And it's really simple. It's really simple. We can do this. We can send little notes just telling people how appreciative we are. We can go up and give them a hug. We can pray with them. We can go to their house. We can help do whatever it is that we can do to help them. Because we're honoring them. We're preferring them. In public, we are talking about it. How many times do we get into an argument and we go someplace and the person isn't with us and they'll say, hey, Nolan, where's Dory? let me tell you, you know, we got into this thing, you know, and you know, and she was really acting, you know, and it goes blow by blow to how bad she was. You catch my point? Is that love? We're not covering them. We paint them in a bad light. And they're not here. What we should do is cover them. Well, you know, things are going on. I felt that she should stay home and take care. Now I'm here to do the things that God wants done. We should never, in honoring a person, we should never paint them in bad light. We should never paint ourselves as the victim. If anything, you know what, I acted like a bonehead and, you know, she's really upset with me and I'm here to get right with God. And then when I go home, I'm going to make it right with her. You see the difference? I'm honoring. Can you believe how he acted with me? Do you believe it? You wait till he comes home. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind and straighten him out. Well, girl, go do it. Oh, yeah. You know, we start doing this stuff. Right? Am I lying or dying here, huh? We do this, don't we? I told you, I'm retarded. I'm insane. But it's the truth, isn't it? When really, the only person we should be speaking to is that person that we should be honoring. Or asking someone who is older and wiser that can keep confidence. Look, I messed up. What am I supposed to do? Well, you know, really, you need to get on your hands and knees, walk through glass that's busted there, and beg for forgiveness. No. Don't do it. What you need to do is admit and prefer that person. Cover that person in respect. Showing your devotion. You don't want that person to ever be painted in a bad light. Because you know what? When we speak, we don't know who else is in the room. Who's listening to what we're saying. And what we say influences their opinion of that person who we're supposed to be in love with. Amen? We need to edify. We need to encourage. We need to exhort each other unto good works. God wants us to take our devotion off of who we are onto Him and His people. He wants us to honor each other in a way that proves and provokes us unto good works by showing how much we honor somebody, by publicly and respectfully speaking about that person, not disrespecting them behind their back as we're stabbing them. It should not be with God's people. I hope that today we can come away just thinking a little bit different about our approach to this subject of evil. We are evil. If you don't think you're evil, just ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind every time you're acting contrary to how Jesus Christ conducted Himself. And believe me, I used to use the F word like it was an adjective, a verb, and a noun, all in the same sentence. And you guys know me, that when I got convicted by the Holy Spirit, I was brain dead. I didn't even realize. But when I had my mind renewed and allowed the Holy Spirit to change my heart, I changed. I couldn't do it in my own strength. I had to rely on the Spirit of God to do it. Hopefully I've been successful today to get you to think about these two areas in your life. If we are so busy focusing on honoring and devoting ourselves to God, that we will supernaturally be devoted and honoring God's people, not ourselves. Amen? Amen. Father, I just come before You, Lord God, and I thank You, God, that Your Word is true. And hopefully, God, that we can come away today, Lord, a little bit, you know, we had fun, but really see the seriousness, God, of how we need to exhort each other to be better than what we were yesterday or even today. And God, when we mess up, let us be quick to repent and take responsibility for our failure so that You can change us and cleanse us in the blood. Help us, O God, to learn valuable lessons and implement them into our lives, that we would show our devotion to You and our honor to You by showing our devotion to Your people and how we honor each other, God. The world is out there, it's dark, it's wicked, it's perverted, and it's looking for the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ to finally arise before the end comes, God. I pray, God, that we no longer have our fingers sticking at each other and pointing out each other's faults, but see that fault that we see in a brother and sister is really a mirror image of what You want to do in us, God. God, I ask that You cleanse us from all unrighteousness today. I ask that You encourage us and convict us of those areas where we fall short in our devotion and honor one to another and to You, Lord, that our lives may be a beauty and a sweet fragrance unto You. I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen.